In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the Holy 50 days, and the theme of the readings of this Sunday is about the Lord saying about Himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we find here that the Lord defined Himself being the way. He did not say about Himself being a way, meaning there is no way else but Him. He is the only way for us to heaven, to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of Father, God the Father. But sometimes we stumble in the way, meaning we sometimes assume that Christianity is for us only to go to heaven with. This is the track to heaven. And some of us are convicted that you cannot live here among people as Christian. The teachings of Christianity will make the people to take advantage of us. We are not going to prosper and be successful if we typically apply what the Lord Christ came teaching us with. We meditate and reflect upon His sayings, but when it comes to the time to apply and live with it and find in it truly the way, we back off. The question here is, why do Christians stumble in the way? Is it truly that Christianity benefits us only in regard to eternal life? There are some factors that make us, when we apply the teaching of the Lord Christ, we stumble in the way, and we look to ourselves and we say that, where is the peace that He said that we will gain when we do this? Where the prosperity and the success that God promised to those people who abide to His teaching? The first element that make us to stumble is the factor of time. We assume that I should be doing or living the command for a certain time, and then I give myself the liberty to judge that it didn't work. I have to give up here. I tried so many months or years. Unfortunately, I do not find that there are any fruits of what I have been trying. Sometimes maybe a father or a mother, a husband or a wife have been trying so diligently to live a life that's as per the teaching of the Bible. And they say that I have been trying for many years and it didn't work. So I will quit simply because it's not working. Heed here the teaching of the Bible. The Lord, the Saint Paul to the Galatians says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The problem is we lose heart. We come after a certain time and say that I give up. I have been trying and didn't work. I have been praying now for 6 months, for a year, and God did not give me what I am asking for. Our heart, we lose heart and then we stop doing things and then we judge the way that it is not successful and it is not going to lead us to where we are aiming at. The factor of time is very important. We should be always willing to do what is good and continue doing this until due season comes. When is due season? The season is the time that God will look upon our work and will reward us because of our diligent work. The second factor that makes some of us stumble in the way is the factor of discernment. Sometimes we mix up the teachings of the Bible and we apply them in different occasions, and then we say it didn't work. Like sometimes people think that whenever it comes to a conflict with anyone, then always the case that we have to turn the left cheek whenever we are slapped on the right one. So people say, how can I do this? How can we do something like this, for example, as a nation, in return of all the threats that comes to our country from outside? How can we apply something like this? The problem here is not in the teaching, it's not in the way. It is in how we apply the scripture and understand it as a whole. The same scripture tells us about the governor who is holding the sword in order to judge, in order to execute justice upon his people and also defend his country. So there is no contradiction. Every situation has the teaching of the Bible that befits it. But unfortunately, because we have an idea that is vague about how we should live as Christians, we mix up things and we end up saying it didn't work. It didn't work maybe because you are applying the wrong verse. We are applying it in the wrong situation. A good example is the issue of forgiveness and reconciliation and friendship. We mix up these three elements all together whenever we have a conflict with someone around us. For example, we are all requested at all times to forgive with no condition and not in return of anything. This is something that basically we have to live with it. I have to forgive everyone who might be in error against me, simply because God will never forgive me unless I forgive others. But forgiveness doesn't mean that. We have to be friends. Friendship is something that I choose and I decide. It is under my authority and my judgment and my discernment to say that this person is going to be my friend and this person is not going to be my friend. There is no hatred here. There is no grudge here. This is just a matter of discernment, and I have all the right to discern whom to be my friend and who would not. But to forgive everyone, I have no option here. To be gentle and kind to everyone, I have no option here as well. Being gentle, being kind, being nice to everyone, again, doesn't mean that we have to be friends. We mix up these teachings and we apply them in the wrong way. That's why we stumble and we think that living as Christian will make the people to take advantage of us, will avoid us of the ability to say no. This is something else that usually a lot of people, they find it difficult to say no. And no for them is something that I'm not going to be nice if I say no. People will hate me when I say no. When I do this, I will offend others. No, it is not. You should be always be able to discern what is the verse that applies to this particular situation. How we should be living, how we should be discerning our behavior and conduct is something else very important for us to be able to live according to the teachings of the Bible. Another element is determining what is the goal. What do I mean by this? The command for all of us as believers, as children of God, that we seek first the kingdom of God. He said this to the multitude in the Sermon on the Mountain. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The goal here might be confused with other things. Is it truly the kingdom of God, or maybe I have other hidden agenda and hidden goals that I may be not thinking that truly this is the desire of my heart? The goal means that anything that might hinder me from reaching this goal should be put aside, because simply this is not what God is calling me for. For example, do I seek God in order that I live with Him and abide in Him and He in me, and hence I will be able to live the life that I am called to and reach the kingdom? Or am I reaching out for God in order that God would serve my ambition or my desires or solve my problems or get a solution for the conflict that I have with my boss or give me the money that I need to balance my account? What is exactly the goal? This is a very important thing. When we see God, everything comes running after us. Believe me, this is something that's tried and it has been working all the time. King Solomon, when God appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What do you want me to give to you?" As if God signed him a blank check. "Solomon, what do you want?" Solomon said to God, "I want that I would acquire a discerning heart so I can judge your people. I want to be wise." God told him, "Because this is what you requested. You did not request riches or honor or the life of your enemies. I will be giving you wisdom no one else has been able to attain it. And also I will give you what you did not request. I will give you riches and honor. So no one will be like you in all of the time, of your time." King Solomon here, God gave him riches and honor and everything else simply because the goal was God. The goal was wisdom. The goal was to discern what is right and what is wrong. Those who reaches only God for riches and honor, they never gain them, and also they lose the goal. We have to be very clear here. What is my goal? Where is my heart? Where is my treasure? This makes a lot of the people stumble because they don't know what is the goal. They want to know God because God is going to solve their problems. That's it, period. Another element that makes some of the Christians stumble in the way is the readiness to accept the loss. This is something, there is no exemption for any Christian. If you want to follow God, enjoy His blessings, you have to be ready at all times to accept the loss. What do we mean by this? The Lord Christ said that if you wanted to be a disciple, you come after me carrying the cross. We all understand, we know the verse by heart. How can we apply it? In the family, where the transactions between us taking place every day, am I ready to accept the loss? Meaning, if somebody hurt my feelings, am I ready to accept this and forgive and live with it? Or I cannot take this? Am I ready to accept the loss of putting my ego under my feet and I can't confess my sins? Or I feel like it is too much for me to acknowledge that I'm mistaken and come before the priest and say I was wrong? Am I ready that whenever I am mistaken that I would truly apologize and say I was wrong, or it is too much for me to take, and then I will keep on nagging and arguing just to prove that you didn't understand me, you didn't get me right, let me explain to you, it's your perception, it's not the truth, and so forth. Am I ready to accept the loss of living as a meek person and maybe not fighting for the positions of the world? Abraham, the head of the patriarchs, gave us example. When he had a conflict with Lot about the land, it did not take him much to solve and settle this by accepting to lose and giving his nephew the right to choose first. So he asked him, where do you want to go? Let us have peace. And I accepted to lose by asking you that you would first pick which land you want to live in. This is the acceptance of the loss that made Abraham eventually to prosper. This is what happened later on. Lot took all the land of Sodom, the rich, the land where the river is. He doesn't have to wait for the water from heaven, the rain. And Abraham was left with Canaan, the desert. He was ready to accept the loss. Immediately God appeared to him and promised him that he will bless him and bless his descendants. I have to think about it and to review my life in view of this one. Should I accept the loss, or there is no way for me that I can accept the loss on any scale? We wanted to gain it all. I wanted to live with God and worship Him at my convenience. I serve Him in the way I see it fit, without hindering my priorities. But meanwhile, I want God to bless my life with graces. It doesn't work this way. Unless you decide willingly to lose things, you cannot come to the knowledge of Christ. St. Paul concludes by saying that I counted everything as rubbish for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. The readiness to accept the loss is a major hindrance in the life of many Christians who try to live with God, but they can't, simply because they cannot accept that they might lose. Another factor is the factors of seriousness and consistency. People say that I have been trying to live with God, but it's not working so far. I am not enjoying anything, the blessings, His presence, nothing. Then the question immediately will come, are you serious enough? In a way, when you say, I wanted to live with them, the good example is the example of fasting, for example. fasting, whenever it comes, people said, I have been fasting and it's not working. I remember when I was in maybe like high school, Amber Bisanti, I remember him very well. He came to the church and he gave us a sermon about fasting. And one of the people asked him, Sayyidna, I have been fasting on and off, is not working, nothing is changing. I'm still the same person, I'm not enjoying any of the blessings. And I remember Amber Bisanti said to him, I will answer you this question after 5 years from now, but you promise me, you will fast all the fastings of the church, and fast them in the way the church is teaching you, and keep prayers with fastings in a diligent way as you are taught. And then I will ask you after 5 years how fasting was with you. Did it affect and change your life or not? The answer here that Sayyidna gave was he was questioning the seriousness and the consistency of how we are applying the virtue, how we are living this virtue. Fasting on and off during the Great Fast, for example. Eating today non-fasting food and tomorrow fasting food. No abstinence from food in the morning of the weekdays. Fasting while fighting with others and arguing with them and getting myself in trouble. Fasting with no prayers. Fasting while I'm still allowing myself to go and wander with my senses all over as if like I'm open house, have no control on myself whatsoever. At the end of the day, if I say that fasting is not working, this is not the truth. The problem is that I am not applying, I'm not living the virtue as I ought to do so. In the same, we can apply this on any aspect in our life, service as well. I have been serving, but I'm not enjoying the presence of God. I have been praying, but actually I don't feel Him. I have been coming to the church, but unfortunately, I do not enjoy the Coptic. It became the whole denomination issue. People sometimes say that they come to the church, and I question, but I never saw you. You say that I come at the back. Why don't come to the front, partake of the communion? This is where you are in the church. Coming to the outside, or going from outside to the hall, this is not being in the church. I'm just deceiving myself by saying so. All of these elements make some of us to conclude that yes, Christianity will take me to heaven, but unfortunately it is not working with me here on earth. To live as the Lord lives, I doubt if this is truly will be the case. It's not going to make me better. To be honest with you, Abuna, it's not working. Maybe I need to go back and look at these factors that make us to stumble and review which one of them is hindering me from enjoying the life that the Lord Christ promised. Let us review them, these hindrances, and think of them and review our lives in view of which one of them is hindering me. The factor of time, the factor of discernment, determining what is the goal, the readiness to accept the loss, and the factors of seriousness and consistency. Glory be to God forever and ever.